that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. From the first chapter of the first epistle general of St. John. They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. But certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then say he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power unto men. Well, hello. So, today I want to extend several different ideas. One is this idea of Logota Zoes, the word of life. And following this is the idea of Lectio Divina. Third is the importance of remission of sin in the repair and renewal of our hearts. And finally, there is the development of freedom and love as counterpoints in the triple vault path of spiritual development. So, what is Logota Zoes? Well, there are a number of different answers. First, it is God speaking the world into being in Genesis. Secondly, it is the revealed Savior, whom we call Jesus, found, as Paul says, in the Scriptures. And I know that I read out the entire passage there of the epistle, but what you didn't hear in what I read is that there were some things in brackets. These are later interpolations. It's quite clear if you take out the interpolated words that the writer of the epistle is speaking about when he says that we have handled the word of life. He's speaking about Torah. And so when Paul says that he found Jesus in the Scriptures, which is roughly Tanakh, the Septuagint consisting of the Mosaic Torah and a bunch of other books which stood the test of time, with perhaps one or two non-canonical books thrown in occasionally, say Enoch or the Wisdom of Solomon. That's often what is meant by the word of life. And thirdly, it is this mystical notion of an inner light of conscience, which we obtain from the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John the Evangelist, because John says the word is the life of men and the light of truth shining in the darkness of this world and neither being extinguished by the darkness nor understood by darkness and also not understood or known by those in the world, us, since we are his own. Now, I once again want to demonstrate Lectio Divina because I really think it's important and very appropriate for anyone moving to renew the heart. So let's consider for a moment the collect for this week. That's the prayer for this week. O God, who in thy loving kindness hast appointed for us a ministry of reconciliation, that by it our feet may be restored to the path wherein we should walk, grant us that, firmly resisting all temptation, we may follow that path unto its glorious end in thee, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So first, Lectio, that's find the main parts and read them. Lectio is reading. O God, who in thy loving kindness hast appointed for us a ministry of reconciliation, that by it our feet may be restored to the path wherein we should walk. And also, grant that we may follow this path unto its glorious end in thee, because I already think that that's pretty important as well. And feeling for resonance, which is the meditatio stage, pick out the part, the words that seem to stand out or resonate best with me, and say it immediately out loud. So what resonates best for me is, our feet may be restored to follow the path to thee. You may have a different part that works better for you, but that's what resonates with me. And now I'm going to feel out and compose my own little mini prayer, which I can repeat to myself so that the Lord is on my lips, which as the Desert Fathers always attempted to have the Lord on their lips. So, may restore our feet to the path and follow the path to thee. I'm going to simplify that and add some words of my own. Let my feet follow the path to thee. But because today is about renewal of heart, I might change it to, let my heart follow the path to thee. Let my heart follow the path to thee. Let my heart follow the path to thee. I'm not sure about that. Let my feet follow the path to thee. Let my feet follow the path to thee. Let my feet follow the path to thee. So I think I prefer the feet version. It feels more true to me. But what you do is up to you. The Lord has a path for each one of us, because all of us are in different places. But I can just repeat that within myself for a few moments. And all of that is the oratio stage of the process. Then I'm going to, as they say, rest in the arms of the Lord, resting in the arms of the bridegroom, resting in his arms, waiting to receive whatever is given by Christ within the heart. The heart speaks, as you know, not in words. So from this contemplatio stage, I notice that there is warmth and an opening sensation in my feet and a pulling forward feeling in my chest, shoulders, and crown. Perhaps also emptiness in my chest. And a kind of sinking sensation, a kind of emptying sensation, peaceful sensation. And more will come in due course. And if you do this every day, then your prayer will change being less about asking for something and more about communing with the light of Christ within your heart. So that's a big step in the renewal of the heart. And this is the beginning also of understanding logotezoes, the word of life. Because the people that came up with Christianity, the Jesus movement, the followers of Jesus, were at pains to make sure that they could read Torah in such a way that it became the word of life, so that they might eat from the tree of immortality. And so from this idea, we move on to John's explication of the Christian notion of the remission of sin, who, as we see in the gospel, is not the province of Yahweh and the corrupt Kohens of the temple, who would make you pay dearly for your cleansing using the money changers and blood sacrifice and various other penances to bring about the endless debt slavery that you can never get out of. Instead, we see Jesus curing the paralytic and remitting his sins. Of course, the lawyers and Pharisees challenge him. The lawyers, in this case, the scribes, as it says in the text. The lawyers challenge him, and he basically says, which do you think is harder, curing the paralytic or forgiving sins? If my Father in heaven allows me to cure this paralytic so he can walk, do you really think he won't grant me the power to remit sins? Especially since you guys all agree that the paralysis cure requires the remission of sin first. So, you see, this is a revolutionary act, and it shows a very dangerous attitude. Jesus has a very dangerous attitude. And it's the reason why the temple authorities wanted Jesus dead. He was undermining their authority and their ability to charge a fee. You might want to think about what's going on in our world right now as we begin to discover the lies that we have been told for many, many years. Lies that masqueraded as medical advice, lies that masqueraded as financial advice and banking, lies that masqueraded as science. And I think we're in for some very interesting times ahead as many of these things begin to come into mainstream consciousness, slowly at first, but gradually growing in scope as we really come to the end of the old age and step more wholly into the beginning of the new one. Actually, the reason I do this podcast is because I think that far from being irrelevant to this new epoch, Christianity will become increasingly relevant, increasingly important and necessary as both an anchor for our actions and a ladder for climbing out of what will be revealed to be a world of illusions we have so long been under. Christianity, in my view, as the ultimate religion of freedom, can mediate exactly the right balance between what you ought to do and what you would like to do. And it does it through a very simple juxtaposition of freedom and love. And I want us to think about the freedom we require in the process of Lectio Divina, and the freedom required for the process often called awakening. And I want us to notice how that freedom walks hand in hand with love. Love bounds freedom, because it is love that tells us where the limit on our freedom should be. You don't wish to damage what you love, so it naturally limits your freedom. If you just do whatever you like without some kind of limit, you will hurt others and yourself. The left-hand path schools, the left wing of politics, and the left-hand pillar of severity all favor the unlimited action of will in the world. And such will action that is without limit must inevitably cause harm because others will be in the way. This is why the players on the left wing of politics inevitably end up attacking each other on the eve of their apparent victory. Like old Saturn or Kronos eats his children, the left-hand path groups destroy their own adherents. Not because they intend to, they surely intend to create a utopia of freedom, but because it is part and parcel of trying to exercise your life force in an unlimited manner. So various people came up with laws. The Jews in particular wrote an entire book called Torah over many centuries, and then wrote many, many commentaries on that book and its law, trying to get at how or in what way exactly you should limit yourself. And they have come up with hundreds of commandments, apparently, all directly from the Most High, about exactly what you must do in this situation or that situation. Those commandments are in the Torah. Actually, I suppose they're really in the extended Torah Tanakh. And this approach to law and exactly what the correct limit of your freedom should be works for some people. Aside from modern rabbinical Orthodox Jewry, Brahmins and some Kshatriya are big on this approach, as are most Muslims, some Jains, some Sikhs, some Orthodox and fundamentalist Christians, some Buddhists even, and even some followers of the religion of atheistic scientism. These people like having lots of direction, and it kind of works for them. But it doesn't work for people who believe strongly in freedom, especially freedom of thought and the freedom to make mistakes and therefore learn and grow spiritually. And it doesn't work for the people who believe strongly that freedom should be maximized and limitations minimized, if strengthened. Such are the people who believed strongly in the spirit of the law, the spirit of Torah. Around the turn of the first millennium, the watchers over the law, the sons of Joseph and the tribe of Benjamin, who formed the Jesus movement, which became Christianity. Because they said to the temple lawyers, who were forced to agree with them, "All your commandments boil down to just two commandments having to do with love. Because if you love the one with all your being, you will naturally limit your behaviors in the perfect way in any given situation. So what we need to do is learn how to love the one. Because if you want to renew your heart, you have to start right where you are in the exact crummy circumstances of your life, in the mishigas, the mess of problems and complications, and find out both what love is and who the one is. Because if you can do that, you have some hope of discovering how to love the one God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And then you may be able to love your neighbor as yourself and your enemies and do good to them that hate you or despitefully use you. But it all starts with finding out who the one is, who created you, and who is the light that you do not recognize, shining in the darkness of this world, the light within the heart of your own being that only wants you to learn how to really be free." So when you think about the readings for this week and the prayer with which I demonstrate Lectio Divina and what prayer really is, it's not that I demonstrated what prayer really is, but if you think about what prayer really is yourself and what your progress toward divinity might be, you might just want to turn everything I've said around the other way and consider maybe that love is the path and freedom is the way we move our feet upon it. Something to keep in mind, anyway. Thanks for listening, guys.